This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited to be here with my podcast guest, Katie Hagen. Katie is a friend of mine of 10 years. We met 10 years ago. Actually, we just discovered we're just a couple months over 10 years. So Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
I am so excited. So Katie, I know that you have had a long journey with the Lord in your life, and also lots of different life events where you have experienced Him. And I'm just excited to talk about that. Why don't you get us started by telling us just your background of life and faith?
Yeah. So when my mom was pregnant with me, she wasn't a Christian, and she just thought, if you have kids, you go to church. That's how you find community. It's just a good thing to do. So thankfully, she found Lexington Presbyterian Church, became a Christian before I was born. And my life is so different because that happened.
Yes. Interesting. When she decided to go to church and she became a Christian, was because of the pregnancy.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm just really thankful for having a very firm foundation of who God is, how He thinks about us, how He thinks about sin, all of that in my younger years. I feel like so much of what I know about God now is from my growing up in a church like that. But when it comes to me actually becoming a Christian, it's funny, growing up, I can remember being at a Billy Graham crusade. I remember praying to become a Christian at summer camp. Camp Marinook, loved it. There was a church in my town that did a reenactment of Jesus's life every Christmas. I remember praying there. But all those times, I remember thinking, I'm already a Christian, but everybody has their come to Jesus story. I don't have one. And it kind of bothered me as a little kid. But in fourth grade, we got a new pastor, and when we baptized infants in the church we grew up in, not saying they were saved, just dedicating them to be raised in a Christian home, yada, yada, yada. He would pray, I pray this child doesn't know a day where it doesn't know the Lord. I told you I was going to cry on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I remember in fourth grade being oh my goodness, that's me.
That's me.
And I'm so thankful for that. Right. And it was just kind of affirming for me to hear that from a pastor being oh, I don't have to have my come to Jesus story.
Yeah.
That is my story.
That is your story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fourth grade me, loved the, baptism prayer of our new pastor. I don't think after that I prayed in any altar calls anymore. Yeah. No, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah. So, I'm super thankful for, the foundation of my church growing up. Mm-hmm. We were, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Church people in our church community, most people were that as well. I will say, I feel like there are some churches whose strengths are theology and some strengths are service, and those aren't always married well. I don't know why that is. And this is just my experience, right?
Right.
I'm not speaking for all churches everywhere. But I feel like ours was service to the community, but of the church, but not outside. And that was always kind of a struggle for me. I remember pulling into the driveway after church one Sunday with my mom and bursting into tears and being we don't know any poor people.
You had a heart.
What are we doing? How are we being the church? Blah, blah, blah. And we did some community service things, and I remember getting Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and I would write letters to people in prison. She's so funny.
That's not funny. That's sweet. Your childhood heart would write letters to
people in prison for their faith.
In prison for their faith.
Yeah. And looking back, I'm did they get those?
I bet you they did.
Yeah. Wild. Maybe I should do it again. But I actually hadn't thought about that in a long time till right now. But I think that's just, you'll like in my story, that's always been like a theme of like tension in my life is like what we say we do and what we do are not always the same. Mm. Whether that's the institutions of the church or, you know, my friend group who of Christians, if that's the friend group I'm talking about, or like myself, like so much hypocrisy in myself. It's just something I've wrestled with my whole life is like people who say they believe in God, churches who are who believe in God, like what are we doing in the world? Are we living like Jesus lived? What does that even mean? So yeah, that was just something that like I remember wrestling with from a young age. But I also think my faith became my own at a very young age. I was a Christian, but I feel like some people who are Christian from younger years growing up in the church, their faith kind of becomes their own when they like go off to college, graduate high school and start working or whatever. But my parents got like divorced in fourth grade, married to each other in eighth grade. Interesting. Divorced again my senior year of high school. And so I feel like family just looked different to me. And so, yes, I was in a loving homes. Like we had good community support, went to good school, blah, blah, blah. But I kind of like viewed myself as myself, like having individual relationships with family members. I didn't view myself as like part of a family unit. Right. So I feel like my beliefs, my thoughts, how I viewed God, kind of, I saw that as my own early on. And I think that served me well because I went to two different Christian schools growing up. That was very important to my mom because my mom was a wild child and apparently high school, college, became a Christian right when she had me. And she was like, oh, I'm sparing these children from these things. And she really like wanted us to know God. And I learned so much about God from being in those Christian schools. But again, there's so much behind the curtain in any institution, there is a lot of hypocrisy because I was already a Christian in that environment. And because my faith is already my own and I had such a strong foundation from the church I was raised in that taught me so much truth. Like so many people volunteered their time as adults to really like pour into the church, which as an adult now I'm like, oh my goodness.
Right.
How did y'all even do that? I'm just trying to get my laundry done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel because I had that foundation, I could see things that like weren't right. And be like, that's not God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sin and he's redeemed it. Like, and so I feel like I'm thankful that I was already a Christian going into those environments.
You could see through the mess.
Yes.
Yeah. And recognize when it was just not of God.
Right. Yeah. Right. And not like I always know what's of God. But, you know, I could see things that would, you know, be just a weird theology or a weird way of thinking or be super judgmental. And it didn't make me just like throw God out the window. It made me be like, that's wrong about God because he is good, you know.
I get it, but I love that. I love that you had that early on. I know many grown people right now that have a really, really hard time with that.
I mean, understandably, when I'm friends with people and I'm talking about like what I believe, like I'm talking about Jesus and how he loves the church, but what you're seeing, like that always ain't it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like right now, 2025, it's definitely a lot more escalated, I mean, because of social media and just how the political parties are, yada, 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 that I can see why it's confusing for people who don't know God or don't have a foundation
honestly,
to find him.
Katie, that is like one of the biggest reasons why I want to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Because what I love about doing this podcast, and if you've been a listener for a while, you know that this is one of my like kind of the visions that I have in my head with this is I think of a stage and I think of the stage having a curtain pulled, and this podcast is an opportunity to pull back that curtain and see the show. And I just love the idea of debunking some of these things, exactly what you're talking about, this kind of public perception of Christianity based on all sorts of different misrepresentations of who Jesus is and being able to showcase who he really is to real followers who are genuinely saved by him, walking with him, who he has has intervened and interacted in their lives in very real ways. And so, yeah, this is a chance to pull back that curtain and take a look at that. So I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to do that. And I think what you're saying is very true. And I appreciate the fact that you've had some experiences where you just felt like you were navigating that. Well, it sounds like from a very early age, you had a heart for the poor, for the disenfranchised, for the people who who couldn't help themselves. And that is a gift from God. That is God's heart living in you.
Yeah.
Different people are going to have carry different burdens to be able to meet the needs of the world.
Yep.
And so I love hearing that from an early age, you carried this burden, and it is a burden. It is a burden. It's not going to be something that necessarily feels happy-go-lucky because it's part of God's aching heart for humanity is to meet the poor, the widowed, the disadvantaged, and to meet their needs. And so, but then you and I turn around and I'm that person, right? I'm the person that needs the help. You're the person that needs the help. And in addition to I'll just use the word poor because, you know, Jesus uses the term poor in spirit as well. And so anyway, I love that this has been kind of living on in your heart. And even after all of these years of walking with the Lord, you still have this same like burden that weighs on you. But it's the kind of burden that God has for people.
Yeah.
Right. And he is able to use you as that. So let's just think real quick, because I know you've had a lot of different experiences, but I'm just curious. This is clearly a theme, right? The thing that you're talking about right now is a theme that's kind of bubbling to the top of something that you really have experienced with God and for God. Are there any other things that you've just learned about God through your own personal experiences over the years that you feel like stick out to you?
I just want to also be clear about the fact that, like, because I've been a Christian a long time does not mean that I've been a doubt-free, sold on Jesus Christian my whole life.
Right.
Right? Like, I feel like I've gone through these cycles. I have a couple that stick out clear in my brain of being like, is God good? Is Jesus real? Is he who he says he is?
Right.
Are we created in his image? All the things. Something that's like consistently brought me back to who God is like literally being in nature, like hiking, national parks. That always is just, I mean, creation waits in anxious expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Like, it's biblical for nature to bring us back to God. Even my backyard now, if you're familiar with permaculture, sit spots are a thing. You see how like land, a certain part of land or ground like changes over time with the seasons. Like, that's my backyard for me, looking out my window, you know, drinking coffee every morning.
Yeah.
But one season of doubt that sticks out to me, I was actually in Zion National Park with Tia, our friend. And I was just talking through the authenticity of scripture and like just all the things as we were hiking through the Narrows. And she could just tell I was like mulling, you know, mulling. And she was like, Katie, at some point you got to decide. You just got to decide. Like, you're never going to have all your ducks in a row.
Right.
With everything. And that was just like kind of like, duh. Like, I've heard that a million times in my life. Like, I've had decision moments in my life. But in a big season of doubt, that's one of the moments I really remember is being in nature. I scrolled back through my Instagram before this podcast because I posted a picture that day of me in the Narrows and it was like, we're so without excuse, y'all. Like,
you decided.
Well, yeah. It's like, not that I wasn't a Christian during that time, not that I wasn't praying, whatever, but yeah, it was just like, duh, it is a decision and like I need to decide and quit mulling around. Not that questions are bad, like still like know why you believe what you believe, like do all your research, all the things, but like it's not a science project, you know. Like, you do have to just like decide. And so I think that's that was like a big moment for me. But something that I've learned recently, again, literally in the past couple months of my life, is that none of this is new to God.
Right.
We are going, we're reading the Bible, doing a Bible study with my mom, women in my mom's side of the family. It's my aunt's first time reading through the Bible. It's been so cool to see Bible through someone's eyes.
Yes.
She's so smart. Yeah. She's like the smartest person. And yeah. So her analytical questions and all the things are just so cool to think through. And we've like gone through an overview of the Old Testament and we've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's like, God is not surprised. Israel
right.
is not the golden child in the Old Testament. Like, God's people are always, the institutions that God established are always straying from God. And even in that, he finds his people. He loves them. So me being like insecure about like, well, I have this friend, I share my life with them, they know I love Jesus, but I don't really know what church to send them to. Who cares? Like, God can get to them despite all the mess that we have made.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the New Testament, who actually like orchestrated Jesus to be killed? The like church, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after he died, who did he send Paul to first? The church, the old Jewish church that had been established forever that had strayed from him from generations and generations. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just been something recently that's like, okay, all this frustration that I experience
right.
is not new to anyone. It's not new to God.
Right.
Who am I to think through what are people going to think about Jesus because some random spokesperson is like using his name in vain for their own gain.
Right.
That's not new. It's not right. But like, right. It's just been something I've realized again, like, okay, yeah, I can be frustrated at that, but also God's in control and he's still good and yeah. he can still move in people's hearts and let them see past the junk that is sometimes
absolutely.
Public Christianity.
Yeah, I get that. It makes me think of a verse that I read during a special edition episode we did a little while back in between season one and season two.
Uh-huh.
I read out of Isaiah 55, and I'm going to go back to that verse. But this is one of the things that just really pops out at me about God's character, because mm-hmm. you're talking about his mercy and also his just persistence to save mankind, right?
Yeah.
He's just constantly saying, come to me. I want to save you. I want to deliver you. I want to rescue you. There is a way to, you know, and mankind is just so messed up, right? And in Isaiah 55, we read, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And then it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Okay, all of that is like pretty familiar mm-hmm. Christianity, right? Seek the Lord and forsake your wicked ways and your unrighteous thoughts, right? but then it says, so that he may have compassion on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why he's calling man to forsake, sorry, I'm going back to look at, to make sure I say it the right way. Let the wicked forsake his way, mm-hmm. like forsake wicked ways, basically. And the unrighteous, his thoughts. So forsake your wicked thoughts and your unrighteous thoughts and your wicked ways. Why?
Mm-hmm.
So that he may have compassion on them, not so that he can reject them or he can tell them that they're stupid or that mm-hmm. he can not forgive them or be judgmental of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, but so that he can have compassion on them and pardon them.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amazing. And that's exactly what you're talking about. I think it's like he just keeps on coming back to his people saying, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
to pardon you and to have compassion on you
mm-hmm.
whenever you have gone astray.
Yeah.
And you're saying that about your own life, about yourself, and you're saying that about, you know, a historical view of the church and ways that his people have been rebellious over time, right?
Yeah.
I know I'm rebellious.
Yeah.
Like almost nearly every single time he asks me to do something, I say no. And then he sticks with me. Mm-hmm. He comes back and he's like, no, Jessica, seriously. And I'm like, I don't want to, you know? Mm-hmm. And he graciously and kindly has compassion on me and he helps me through my rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And he points me in a way that is so much better than anything that I could have ever figured out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that. So anyway, we could go on and on and on. Seriously. Okay, what else? Do you have any other experiences you want to talk about? Anything that has happened where God's power and presence has just been super, super evident to you that you haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah. I mean, super, super evident is a interesting question because I feel like I have a lot of little moments.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I love that.
That are like huge. The first one is a little funny.
Okay.
But I love to tell it. So college, mm-hmm. I had a wart on my ankle.
Okay.
I cheerled.
You were a cheerleader?
And I was a flyer, which means someone had to hold my ankle. So gross. I always had to wrap my leg. This is too much information about my wart. Anyways, I've done so many things to get rid of it.
Okay.
And then I prayed about it. I was like, why have I never prayed about this? And like literally it fell off. Like,
oh, 2 days my later. Goodness.
I'm like telling everybody.
Yeah. Until you're like, my wart fell off.
And then my sweet mate, Rebecca McFall, she was like, Katie, you've got to stop. Like, that's gross. You got to stop telling people about your wart. So that's just silly. So I thought I'd put it.
No, I love
tell
it.
You about it in a podcast. No, but I feel like I've just had little things in my life, like little God winks, you know? Mm-hmm. I have a kid who's hard of hearing and in high school, I did 2 mission trips to Mexico. It was like more like a learning trip for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we were helping do some things for a deaf school, deaf and hard of hearing school in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
My cousin has hearing loss. When I lived in Shanghai, I volunteered with this social enterprise incubator that one of their businesses they were incubating was a social enterprise of deaf people who were employed to make hearing aids.
Wow.
It was just like just little things that it's like it's not like I took ASL in college. It wasn't like a big thing, but it's just like
but all before
cool.
You had your daughter who's hard of hearing.
Yes.
Wow.
Totally cool. Just like little things like that that are awesome. Before I went to China, I was like, God, it'd be cool if I could run a race on the Great Wall. I don't know. Hillsong did one concert in China a while ago. It'd be cool if they did it again. And like I went to a Hillsong concert in Shanghai. Small.
Yeah.
Christianity's. Allowed, not allowed. If you're not from China, it's way easier to gather as a church uh-huh. than not. This is 10 years ago. I don't know what it's like now. So just that even happened that I could go. I ran a great wall, race on the Great Wall. It's just like so, just like little cool things that have happened
yeah.
that it's just like, I don't know.
You feel like he's like you can tell he's just with you.
Yeah. And like, yeah. I mean, this is kind of funny too, but like, literally the fact that like chocolate tastes like chocolate
mm-hmm.
like, that I get to watch a sunset or that I'm even breathing, it's like all a miracle.
Yeah,
like it's all mercy and then grace and
mm-hmm.
we get to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And life is not always rainbows. There is hard stuff that happens,
right?
But we have faith and hope that like one day he will make all sad things
mm-hmm.
untrue.
Amen.
And everything will taste like ice cream. You know, so I feel like for me, it's like, yeah. it's just all the little things.
Yeah.
Are just evidence of God. Like, what's the alternative? The yeah. alternative is we believe in ourselves. I'm not that great of a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The alternative is we believe in a different God where we have to do all these good things to earn their favor. Like, grace yeah. freely given. You just have to believe and you yeah. have a more fulfilling life.
Yeah.
It's just.
It's a come one, come all
yeah.
faith.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, yeah, everyone is invited to the table. And oh, yeah, by the way, when you come,
yeah,
you have an abundant life that can't be described with words.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the peace that the world is looking for. It's the confidence and the assurance and that the world is looking for, you know? I completely agree. I always just feel like, how in the world do I get to live this life where I actually just, even when the most uncomfortable things are going on in my life, I have such peace.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not like it's all happy-go-lucky, 100%. You know? But there's this deep confidence within me that I'm not alone, and that I am, and not only not alone, but I'm there. I'm loved.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of it by a God who wants to do good for me, not harm me.
Yeah.
And who, you know, defends me and protects me. Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big time. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Life is not all ice cream and rainbows, but when it is, I can be thankful that he's provided those things. And what's the alternative when it's hard, right? Like when it's hard, I want to have hope.
Right.
When he doesn't heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I told you I was going to cry.
Yeah.
Like I want to have hope when things are hard and bad and there's sickness and disease and horrible things in the world. Like, what's the alternative without God? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, he's the only hope.
Yeah. Right. So the good things, I think, historically have pointed me to God in the past seasons of doubt. Sometimes those have been caused by things that are hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the older I get, it's kind of, that's not true anymore. It's like the hard things are the things that are like, what else do I have to put my hope in? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he's not for that, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
sin in the world, the hard things, you know, he will ultimately, like, all hard things, you know, there is a reason for it all, but I almost don't even like to say that sometimes, because mm-hmm. I think some people read that as, oh, you need to have, like, a happy bow at the end,
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying, like, at the end of the story, you need to know the reason and know why and know how it was redeemed by God, and that's not true.
Right.
That we know this side of eternity.
No, we often will not know why things happen.
Yeah, why mm-hmm. things happen. Sometimes things happen because there's sin in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, God has redeemed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, nothing will be sad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the older I get, the more the hard things, it's like that brings me closer to God too.
Mm-hmm.
Even more than chocolate ice cream and hiking in Zion National Park
and the beautiful pond in your backyard, right?
Yes,
all reminders of God.
Yeah.
Okay, so I especially in this conversation, because you have such a heart for kind of like we said early on, this misrepresentation of God, and yet you're in your own journey of kind of coming to that you've always had this consistent sense of truth while also grappling and working through doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the moment that you described where it's like, I've just got to decide, and kind of coming, feeling like you went over a hump at that mm-hmm. point in your life where you said, I'm not going to stay in analysis paralysis. I'm going to let my
mulling
life
mode.
Yeah. I'm going to let my spiritual life move forward.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to let myself pursue this knowing that I believe it to be true.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let the doubt like just suck the life out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what I heard from you there. But now I'm kind of curious if you were to just give a quick word of advice to someone who's really struggling to believe right now.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I mean, I can give you a good book recommendation. I would go read Generous Justice by Tim Keller.
Okay.
I mean, He Leads Justice to Victory tattooed on my arm.
Oh, yes, you
do.
It's
real faded. You know your tattoo looks scuffy when no one asks you about it anymore. Probably should get it refreshed.
Yeah.
But
say it again. Say what your tattoo says.
So it says, He Leads Justice to Victory. It's part of Matthew 12 in the Bible, but it's Jesus, or it's Matthew quoting part of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was during a time where... not always, but a lot of times professionally, I get to work on issues I'm like passionate about. And mm-hmm. even if it's not a Christian org, like living out my faith through my work and relationships I build, et cetera, et cetera. Working towards things that I think are good. But that can like lead to burnout for sure. So it was kind of a tattoo for that. But it was also Healy's Justice to Victory. generous justice, justice in the Bible is not just people getting what they deserve,
mm-hmm.
meaning like punishment.
Right.
It's like telling Christians through scripture how to be giving and how mm-hmm. to work towards justice in the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of twofold. It's kind of talking about, for me, he leads justice to victory. So like the justice I deserve, the punishment I deserve for my sin, he took for me on the cross. Mm-hmm. And also
he gives me
all
victory.
The wrongs in the world.
Yes.
He will one day make right. It's actually
he will
like,
have the victory.
Yes. And it's before that says a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Mm. And it's like even when we are weak, even when we are not doing what we should in the world, we're flailing around. He's compassionate. He's generous. He's giving. Yeah.
I love that.
He'll lead all to victory. So yeah, Go Read Generous Justice by Tim Keller. If you want a book rec, but then also, I would say if all you've seen about Jesus is just through loud voices on social media and reading the headlines about the latest church leader's downfall, things that look power hungry or performative, Jesus is very different than that.
Yeah.
And he's not for all of that. He's not loud. He's not trying to win elections. His character is gentle, kind, rooted in love. It's kind of hard to even know where to start on your Christian journey. But Jesus has reached people through the mess for generations, 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 and he can reach you too. So
I love that.
Sit
Thank
in doubt.
You.
Be honest with yourself, with God. He's comfortable with that. He can mm-hmm. handle your questions. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you got to decide. And isn't putting trust in a loving God so much better?
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Amen. I love that. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks
been
for
so
having
awesome.
Me. I've loved it.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.